Hey guys, this is Gary, and welcome to another episode of Pod Wars. I'm here today with our good friend, Justice.
What's up, guys?
And Evan is not with us today. We are currently conducting a nationwide search for him. So if you see his face on milk cartons and around your neighborhood, please report to askpodwarspodcast@gmail.com. We'd appreciate any information you could provide us.
But don't inform his wife. Let us know first.
Let us know first, okay? We need him far more than his pregnant wife. But
speaking of that, there's gonna be a good time where it's just gonna be Gary and I running the pod for a little bit because we're gonna be kind and let Evan, help his wife after she gives birth, and now they're gonna have two little ones running around, and well, one will be running around.
No, this baby's gonna come out sprinting. But yeah, Evan's gonna be probably taking a little bit of break going here and there because he has to prioritize a child over us, which again I'm still flabbergasted about.
That he has a child?
That he prioritizes the kid over me. I am far cuter. I can say at least twice as many words. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But Evan's rejection of us aside, it's time for us to dive into one of our favorite segments, Twitter Tidbits.
Live from the Pod Nation, we bring you
Twitter Tidbits.
So this week for Twitter Tidbits, I'm just going to shout out a few people who decide to follow us over the week, because I was too lazy to make actual interaction. So big old thank yous to at P and PSW Podcast, at Marvel Theory Pod, at Collected Pod, at Construct Com Pod, at Star Wars Now This, at Cutting Room MRB, at X Reads Podcast, at Coffee Comics BLG, guessing that means blog, at Storm Chaser 2162, and at our good friend BeardedGeek19. Thank you all for giving us a follow. We love the Twitter love.
And also thank you to WSTR for giving us another shout out and just bringing the whole Star Wars pod community together.
Yeah, and also like to thank everyone for voting for us in the Roadcast competition. We appreciate the support. We're just happy to be part of this competition and see where it takes us. And we really appreciate you guys coming along, showing us some love online, and telling us personally that you were voting for us. We really appreciate it.
Yes, and I think when this podcast drops, you will have exactly one day to go vote. So if you have not gotten vote, please do.
Yes.
The voting ends June 16th.
So please give us a vote. You can find the link for it at our Twitter page at Pod Wars Podcast. We will shamelessly plug ourselves. Please give us a vote. We are desperate and sad. And we have to get good equipment that don't confuse me. Because thank you, Evan, so much for being our guy with the sound and the knowledge. Because having me trying to set this up with Justice has been a mess. So thank you, Evan. We miss you. We hope that you are found at some point.
Someone's going to like listen to this and actually take it seriously.
They're going to be like, oh, shoot, like Evan's missing. And presumed dead, but that's beside the point.
And we're not looking for him.
Anyways, you ready to jump into some fun nerdiness today, Justice?
Yeah, there was so much stuff that was released this week, content-wise. So we're going to move into the Nerdy Nuggets section.
Nuggets. Crispy nuggets. Spicy nuggets.
Nerdy nuggets.
So, Gary, did you see the new Spider-Man game teaser, the Miles Morales game?
I saw a little bit with that. At first, I didn't know if this was going to be a DLC, if it was going to be a whole separate game. All I know is that they're going to take my money. and I'm going to definitely play that game. Because, bro, I just beat Spider-Man PS4 like a few weeks ago.
Did you beat the DLCs?
I did not yet. I still want to play the DLCs, but then I got stuck on Persona 5, which is like a never-ending hole of anime JRPG, and so now my life is taken over.
Yeah, I keep on hearing from multiple different sources that when you start Persona or Shin Megami Tensei, I butchered that name, but the same series, you kind of just find yourself in a hole, and there's like 100 different like ways to win the game, 100 different, like there, like so many different ways to like go around and like beat it, whether or not, I'm 100 is an exaggeration, but there is so many hours of content that you kind of just get lost when you start playing them.
It's a ton. Never have I thought I'd play a game where I'm like, hell yeah, it's Monday, it's time to go to the bathhouse and level up. And seriously, that's what these games are like. It's totally anime tropes, and it's so bad. But we're going to get into some more of that kind of goodies later. I want to come back to a little bit of Star Wars stuff. There was a leak about a new Star Wars game coming out. And what was it? Star Wars Squadron, correct?
Yeah, so Xbox, then I believe the new series like system that's coming out had basically a blank page for this new game, Star Wars game, and it's got the cover art for it. So now EA and other Star Wars Twitter finally like went out and posted that it's official, and I believe around 15 hours from when this podcast is currently recording, they will be dropping the official trailer for the new Star Wars Squadron game. Gary, how are you feeling about a starfighter kind of game?
So I'm going to be that guy and say I'm not that psyched for it, but like I'm not their target audience. Like, I don't care about the parts in Battlefront where you're doing space battles. I don't care about any of the Starfighter games. I just want to chop people up with a lightsaber and then burn them to a crisp with Force Lightning. I don't know. How do you feel about it, Justice?
Yeah, I was watching some videos, kind of getting a little more content background about this, and they were saying that it's not all in the air, but it's not solely just a Starfighter game, but it's like, it's kind of like flip-flop of Battlefront. That's what I'm kind of hearing. I don't know for sure, but like the more Starfighter and then some ground level stuff. And I agree with you. I'm not really into the whole flying thing. It doesn't matter what video game it is. I try avoiding anytime trying to fly. I just find it to be tedious and not as exciting as, like you said, chopping up people or shooting people in the face.
Yeah, and I mean, the only way they'll get me to go for this is if it has a really good canon storyline. Otherwise, I'm just not going to be really that interested. And even then, I probably won't go for it. Sorry, Star Wars fans, but like, it's just not our vibe.
Yeah, we're not here like saying it's going to be a bad game or that it's not going to be, you know, like fun to play or whatnot. It's just like, that's just not the genre of video games that I enjoy playing, but I am willing to watch the trailer. I'm willing to give it a chance. Willing to see what like IGN and other sites rate it, and maybe I'll rent it and see if I like it.
Yeah, I'm definitely less excited for this than I was for Jedi Fallen Order. Like, I was psyched for that game. This, I'm like, okay, it's cool, but it's just eh.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. But again, this is right before, like we should like, this is like the pre before the trailer drop, and then when the trailer drops tomorrow next week, we'll give you guys our final thoughts on what we think of it.
And we're gonna come back and be like, oh my gosh, this is so cool, or whatever. Right.
Exactly.
But also on the Star Wars front, this is less of a gaming or news kind of deal, but a lot of fans were noticing a plot hole in the recent Clone Wars series, so. To kind of give a review back, you can check out our old episodes for the whole deal on the newest season of Clone Wars. But in spoilers, when Order 66 occurs during Clone Wars, Ahsoka is the one who takes a chip out of Rex that causes him to turn against her and the Jedi during the Order. So a lot of Star Wars fans are pointing out to Dave Filoni, like, hey, bro, you said in Rebels, Rex was talking to Kanan and said, yeah, me and all these clones we're with right now actually took out our chips well before Order 66. So everyone's like, hey, dude, you have a continuity error there, which is fair, but like Dave Filoni came out this week. He's like, guys, you're reading into this way too much. He was saying how Rex was kind of just chilling with Kanan, trying to calm him down, and was just kind of generalizing the situation, which, I mean, makes sense to me. I just don't see Dave, I don't know about you, Justice, but I just don't see Dave being one of those guys to have major continuity errors.
Yeah, I feel like he takes pride in like the work that he does, and takes pride in like making sure that the story does flows well and is true to Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars is definitely not has had faults in when it comes to plots in the past. The fans have a valid point, but Dave Filoni also is just like it's his two babies. So I mean, I feel like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, right. I'm just surprised some fans like look back on that and got that like weirded out by it. But it does make sense, but it is the least of the plot hole concerns in Star Wars. I mean, you literally had Palpatine come back after exploding in the vacuum of space, okay? So like this is the least of our concerns.
And like Luke and Leia didn't like end up together after, you know, A New Hope. So it's like it's all weird kind of like plot hole stuff that, you know.
Well, I was really rooting for Luke and Leia the whole time. I was shipping them way more than Reylo, okay?
Hey, we can't make fun of those people because we don't want to get back fan backlash.
Dude, the Reylo nation is strong, dude. Dude, I am kind of a low-key Reylo, okay? After we got all that stuff, thanks again to our good friend of the pod, Matt Bush. He hooked us up with a lot of awesome gear, really cool stuff. And basically when we were kind of giving it out to each other, Justice is like, oh, I know Gary's going to want every single Kylo Ren one because Kylo Ren is my boy. And that's basically what happened. And I told my wife afterward, I'm like, so when we get a house and have a room for it, we're going to have a Kylo Ren room, a room dedicated just to him.
What's funny though, is that I ended up the one that even though I'm the one that disliked, I would say, the Rise of Skywalker the most, I ended up with the Rise of Skywalker poster because it had a really cool Rey and Kylo like dynamic going on, and I thought you were gonna get that one, and I thought that was what you wanted the most, and like that ended up not being that one, and I was like, I think it's really cool, I'm gonna take that. And yeah, I have no qualms with people wanting to ship Kylo and Rey and whatever. It's just interesting seeing the online community.
Dude, you're just afraid of the Reylo army. They are strong.
They're strong in the Force.
They are strong in the Force.
So, Gary, other interesting cultural news. James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, he also is now filming the Suicide Squad's movie for DC. He said that he never wants to do an Avengers movie. What do you think about that?
Interesting. I feel like he's just pandering to DC fans and being like, yeah, like Marvel sucks, blah, blah, blah. I'm a DC guy now. And I'm kind of like, if they give you a big enough check, you'll sell your soul and just like lick their boots.
But he's going back and doing Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So I don't think he's fully like, I like one or the other. I think he likes both a lot. He's talked about that in the past.
But like I just don't like when directors are like, oh yeah, like Marvel is just totally just mainstream, like putting it down, like Martin Scorsese style, how he put it down. You know, I just don't want James Gunn to do that kind of deal, because guaranteed most directors out there would like sell their right arm to be able to do an Avengers movie.
Yeah, I would like to go more in depth and figure out why he doesn't want to do the Avengers movie, but I think he's really content just doing Guardians and being able to just like stick with those characters, which he's done a really good job with both of those movies. So I'm excited to see what he does with Suicide Squad, and I'm excited to see what he does with Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Which, I mean, Suicide Squad is hopefully going to be kind of the redemption of the DC universe before the Robbie P. Batman comes out, and I didn't hate the first Suicide Squad, the original one that came out, but it definitely wasn't good. You know, like you saw it too, didn't you, Justice?
Yeah, I did. It's the X-Men origins of DC. Like, it's like enjoyable, but it's not like great, and it's not like doesn't follow the comic very well.
That's fair. Granted, I enjoy X-Men Origins more just because of Hugh Jackman and his vascular arms. That dude is jacked in that movie, and it's great.
He also has a scene where he has no clothes on, but besides the point.
And everyone listening to the pod now pauses the podcast and runs X-Men Origins.
Also, I don't know. Have you watched the video that I sent you? So if you're not familiar with this, Josh Gad, who's the voice of Olaf, does this thing on YouTube where he gets casts from old movies to come together, and they via Zoom, and they will read lines, and he will he posts them. Did you watch the Lord of the Rings one that I sent you?
No, you're gonna have to resend that to me because my stupid new phone. But please go on about this because it does sound dope.
Yes, so he got all of the main cast members for Lord of the Rings to come on, and Peter Jackson, and I am blanking on her name, one of the writers, all together, and even Howard Shore was there, and they're all just like reading lines, talking about things behind the scenes. It's great. It's like 50 minutes long, which seems like a really long time, but like I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so it was great just listening to these like guys like perfectly read lines. Well, mostly perfectly read lines, and then like from just like a computer screen, like so many years later, it's great. I'm sure they had the lines up, but like Liv Taylor is on there. Liv Tyler. And she like just like starts speaking elf and is like, yeah, like I still have that like memorized from like one of the lines that I had to say. And it's like, it's so much fun.
I really want to watch it. I mean, 50 minutes sounds like a while, but for Lord of the Rings fans, that's nothing, because we're used to being like extended edition marathon for 12 hours straight. I could say for myself, like, we watched Lord of the Rings this year at least 4 times, all the way through. We'd watch it all the way down to Return of the King, and then reverse it all the way back, and then all the way down and back, and then watched extended edition. We were really bored during quarantine, people, but I'm actually really psyched to check out that video. We are thinking of doing some Lord of the Rings podcasts because Evan will no longer be with us, and he's not a Lord of the Rings guy, but we're gonna have to convert him eventually.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, he needs to just like, he can't just like read it. He has to have like do audio style, because it's some of those words are, one, very old English. Two, you don't really understand some of the like the foreign language that J.R.R. Tolkien created. So it's really nice having someone else read the story to you.
Yeah, I couldn't read the book. Sorry, Lord of the Rings fans. I just couldn't have the attention span. That's more on me than on the book. But I definitely enjoyed the audiobook. Plus, the dude who does it, like, sings out all of Tolkien's songs, and it's hilarious.
I'm going to boast in that I read them all. And I read the Silmarillion, too, which is basically the Bible for the Lord of the Rings. Yes, I am that nerdy. But I would love to go back and like listen to the audio version of it. Let's see. Yeah, I think that kind of covers the cultural news, the nerdy nuggets. Oh.
But speaking of nerdy nuggets, it's time for us to break a nerdy barrier for the Pod Wars podcast, to break into a new realm, a whole new world, something that Evan would not be caught dead talking about: anime.
Yes. I know that Gary and I have expressed our love for anime in the past in Pod Wars, but I don't know if we've actually like sat down and literally talked about anime. And that's what we're going to do for the next few minutes, because I've been watching a lot of anime recently. Gary's communicated to me that he's been watching a lot of anime recently, and we thought it'd be a perfect time to talk about some of our favorite shows while Evan's gone. Make Evan listen to it.
Make Evan get super into anime. Honestly, though, dude, I've been watching obscene amounts of anime. It's probably not good. I feel like I can, like, speak Japanese now. by proxy and just by overexposure. It's like when you dive into a culture, or at least I could say Shadow Clone Jutsu in Japanese and be able to get it. But
oh, is that what you guys have been watching?
No, I've been watching all kinds of random stuff. But before we get too far into this, let's just talk about what the heck anime is and why the heck we like it. So, okay, I'll preface it with this. We know anime is nerdy as all hell, and it is super freaking weird. But
it can be. It can be weird.
It can be really weird. It can be super weird, but also at the same time, really epic. I mean, who among us did not watch Dragon Ball Z as a little kid and think, dang, this is pretty dope?
I actually was listening to a podcast today, and it literally was like the history of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. Shout out to Wizard and the Bruiser. But they literally walked they talked about watching Dragon Ball on Toonami and how like they just like were sitting there after school just being like, this is amazing. I personally didn't watch Dragon Ball Z after school. I think the like way it worked was that I either like I don't remember like the timing of it, but like there was like I know there was Batman Beyond, and basically after that, like my parents picked me up from like the house that I was getting like sat at, like watched at after school. And then I think Naruto and then like Dragon Ball Z like would come on, and I would miss both of those. So I didn't really watch it growing up.
I got with some of the OG stuff. Obviously, like a lot of kids growing up, Pokemon was like the first anime that I watched, and I'm just like, this blew my mind. It was so good. I just dove deep into Pokemon, but then it just like didn't stop, and I got super into Beyblade back in the day. If anybody here,
Beyblade, hell yeah,
Beyblades, those were the best little death traps ever. Basically, it was an anime about these killer tops that had demons living inside of them, and like you could buy these tops as like kids, and there were like stories of them being banned from schools because they were poking kids' eyes out. They were so dangerous.
Ours got banned because someone ripped one down a slide and it flew off the slide and hit the principal in the head. And so like we could no longer bring Beyblades to school.
they were these like incredibly fast spinning tops with literal blades on them, and they were great.
It was awesome. And like I played the Beyblade game. Intense.
Dude, I did too. I had Beyblade for PS1 and Game Boy Advance, and it was literally like just tops banging into each other with like anime tropes and grunting on the side. And that's all it was.
It was amazing. So anime is we're not going to go into the huge history of anime because that would take a very long time and it's probably a whole nother, you know, episode. But basically like manga is the comic graphic novel version of all these stories from Japan. And anime is just the cartoon version of all these stories. There are how we have TV shows in America where it's like, you know, we have cooking shows, we have, you know, dramas, actions, like thrillers, all these different stuff. That's the same thing, but you can also find it in an anime version where you can watch, you know, like if you want to watch a sports anime, you can watch one. If you want to watch a drama one, you can find one. But I would say the most popular anime style is the shonen style, which is what, like, I guess you would consider Bleach, One Piece, Dragon Ball, Naruto, that kind of stuff.
Which, okay, so you'd probably agree with me, Justice. I love the shonen style. Like, they are my favorite kind of anime, but they are all exactly the same. So
yeah, there's not a whole lot of variance between them.
Let me break down every single shonen anime. You have the loser kid who doesn't seem to have much power, but wants to become insert major position here, and then is striving to become that position, and ends up running into a rival that is somebody who's deeply close to him, but also in his way. And then they end up having an exam of some sort showing their power, in which he becomes super powerful in that, but then discovers he has an inner demon living inside of him. And then this just goes downhill as he's fighting these battles, trying to defend his friends. And that's literally every single shonen anime.
Yeah, to some degree, yes.
I mean, I basically just described like Naruto, Bleach, My Hero, Black Clover.
He doesn't have a demon though. My Hero, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, true. He doesn't have a demon in him, but he has the exams. He has the rival. He has constantly striving to save his friends. Like it's all the same thing over and over again, and I love it.
Yes, it's amazing. All right, so Gary, what are some of your favorite animes? Which ones have you watched?
So I've watched far more than I'd like to admit. Let's see. Some of my favorites that I've watched. Okay, if you're talking about the like shonen type where it's just that like big battling type anime, favorites would be I love Naruto. We've talked about that in the show a ton. I do also like My Hero Academia. Those are very popular ones. And I've been getting into Black Clover recently, which is literally the same kind of archetypal type thing, but it's like magic and uber nerdiness and a lot of just screaming. A lot of screaming.
So like Dragon Ball.
Basically, yeah. But the ones that... So if I was going to give like advice on anybody who's like, anime's too nerdy, I don't know if I'd be into this. The one I would recommend for probably most people would be Death Note. Death Note is so good. It's like... It takes away a lot of the cheesy anime themes and leaves in what's really good. Not that I don't love the cheesy anime stuff. I think it's hilarious. It's about this guy who is just a normal high schooler who finds this book. And this book, if you write a name into it and can think of the person's face, that person automatically dies. So then he goes on to like a vigilante crime spree of where he's killing off every single person he deems bad in the world. And he just like every day is just running up people on this Death Note. And so you get into the intrigue of they're trying to find who is this serial killer who's killing people like crazy every single day, but also people thinking, hey, is he the good guy? And you get this really awesome investigation. It's kind of like a mix of thriller, horror, crime drama, all of that in one. And it's honestly one of the best ones I've ever seen.
It's on my list. I definitely have not watched it, but I know it's one of the more popular ones. Man, I don't know what I so like if I was gonna suggest someone getting into anime, a really easy one is just Pokemon, because you already basically know what Pokemon is. So like watching it would just be really easy for you to just like sit there and kind of be like, oh, like let's follow Ash Ketchum and follow him and never win an actual like championship. but I would say for me, my favorite animes are Naruto, My Hero Academia. I really like Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood and Castlevania.
Castlevania is a newer one that I really got into. It's a Netflix original. The art style is really cool. It's like perfect mix of fun and horror in it. It's got two seasons out there, I believe, and really surprisingly good.
And what's really cool is like actually it's not really based off of a manga. It's based off of a video game back in the day, like way back in the day, PS1, PS2. Like that's where Castlevania came from. So yeah, it's cool. And the reason like I think it's easy to watch anime is because it's only 20 minutes long, and like 5 minutes of it is literally like the opening song. So like you can crank out so many anime episodes. You know, when you're cooking food, when you're just like, you know, while you're eating your food, when you're getting ready in the morning, like just throw it on and like, and I mean, and, but you're going to want to stop and watch like the actual action scenes and like whatnot. And if it's not dubbed, then you have to read the subtitles. But like, I find it super easy just to like throw on and not have to think about like, oh, like what show do I have to sit down and watch for 45 minutes and pay attention to.
Yeah, that's definitely something I love about it. But since we're showing some love to anime, we got to talk about some of the weird anime tropes, and there are a lot of them. My personal favorite is the anime nosebleeds. You know what I'm talking about, Justice?
You might have to give me a little explanation because I think I do, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, trust me, you do. So, say a character meets somebody they deem attractive, an attractive person of the opposite sex, and then suddenly they rocket out into the sky with a nosebleed splurting out of their nose.
Yes. when they freak out from excitement and they get this random nosebleed. Yes, I don't understand. I mean, but I'm sure there's a lot of it's all cultural like differences, and then watching it over here, we're just like, what?
Yeah, like I did look it up, and there is no biological basis for being attracted to someone and literally having your nose shoot out blood. So I have no idea where the heck they got it, but it is hilarious.
The my favorite, it's not even really like a trope, but like the when something happens and they have the like it's like just like this weird like their mouth doesn't open, but it's like this grunt noise that they make, and it's just like it's so hard to like replicate, but it's like everyone does it. It happens all the time. She's like
like yeah, like something intense happens and they just like pan into the faces of all the main characters going I remember we went to a Comic-Con where we might have talked about this in another podcast, where we got to see a panel for some anime voiceover people, the people for Naruto and Boruto, and they were talking about how like that culturally was a thing that they had trouble kind of reenacting, and they had to get like cueing from people who understood anime and understood manga and Japanese culture to be like, okay, so this is what you're trying to convey here. And they just, I remember the Naruto lady saying how she did like hours of takes of just grunting, and it's all the time, and it's hilarious. That and another great anime trope is just like overly emotional monologues that just go on forever.
Right before they're about to attack someone, especially like right like when like the battle's about to get intense, like your main villain is about to attack your main hero, and like the villain just goes on this like really long monologue of like what his like main purpose is, and it's like, not that you haven't watched the whole show, so you understand what he's trying to do, like, but he needs to like reinforce it, and you're just like sitting there and you're like, all right, like, cool. Like, I'm glad this monologue is cool, but like, let's watch the fighting.
Like, he get the classic Dragon Ball Z example of like Goku is charging up, and it's 20 minutes of him charging up and talking about like his son and his friends just to have his shot miss. And after 20 minutes, you're like, this could have been summed up in like 5 seconds.
Right. Like another trope, I guess, like anime has, and I would say like other shows do have that, but is there a lot of times they like to take right from the manga and go into the show. And sometimes the manga hasn't been written yet. So they have to come up with these random, they call them filler episodes, where they're just random episodes that mean nothing to the plot. They're waiting for the next arc to come out, and they're just like there for the people who show up each week, and they'll have nothing to do with the show whatsoever. And that's like another anime trope that I'm like, Dragon Ball was really like the way Dragon Ball did it was where for a really long time they would have, you know, Goku or Gohan or whoever it is charge up to go Super Saiyan, and it's like, when are they gonna finally blast each other with this epic power, you know?
And other shows do it where they literally have like entire seasons that are just complete BS of just like who knows what.
Well, not even that, but they'll have entire seasons where it's not the same like animators and it's not the same voice actors, that just because they're waiting for the main story to come out. And so that's like they're you can go online if you're gonna watch an anime and just look up like what are the main episodes and what is filler, and like just, you know, skip the filler. Unless you're watching Naruto, you need to watch the Kakashi filler episodes because those are amazing.
Those are incredible.
And you need to watch them.
Granted, you also have episodes where Naruto is fighting a robot version of himself, and then the entire village is covered in sand. Like, that's like one of the actual plots, or like an entire episode where they're just trying to take the mask off of one of the characters, and that's it.
Yeah, but it's like Clone Wars. Like, we talk about Clone Wars, how there's certain episodes where it's like, you don't really need to watch that because it doesn't really affect Star Wars, like the story of Star Wars. And it's the same thing for anime. All right, Gary, what are you currently watching right now?
The one I'm currently watching right now is a lot of Black Clover, which I'm liking because it's literally just a ripoff of the shonen genre. It's really fun, but total ripoff. Like, everything is basically the same as Naruto, except with magic. But I love it. Like, it's really great. That, and I've been watching, so this is a weird one. I watched one called Beastars on Netflix, in which it is a high school drama where you follow these characters that are different animals. The way I describe it, it's Zootopia, but like, it's the rated R version of Zootopia. Like, it's the
interesting.
It's the predators versus prey, and then but like the predators would like pounce on the prey and then have like an anime scene about their feelings. Why do I feel this way about my prey? Why am I doing this? How's this going to affect the awkwardness in math class? And that's kind of like how the episodes would go. Or like a wolf fell in love with a bunny, but are they really in love, or she just really want to be his prey? It's super freaking weird, and it was hilarious. We were watching that like over the last couple weeks, and oh my gosh, it is so bad, but we love it.
I'll have to check that one out. I have a really long list of things that I need to watch, but
well, you're watching some of the classics ones of like, you're watching like Cowboy yes. Bebop, which is probably one of the yes. best anime ever.
Yeah, if you, I guess that's the better answer. If you haven't watched an anime and you're like trying to get into it, or you're just like, all right, these guys are talking about it. I kind of like Gary and Justice sometimes, you know, kept on coming back to the podcast. Maybe I should listen to them and I should go and watch, you know, some anime. Watch Cowboy Bebop. It's interesting. It's hard to explain because like, it's almost like this, like the each episode doesn't really connect with the next one. But there is a through line story. But it's also like this world that like you feel like you've been in. It's a Western anime too. And the music is phenomenal. Like the music is like, it just like plays off of the whole show. It's just like, and each episode has a different genre of music that's playing. And it's like, it makes the show so much more amazing than it, like, it just like, it adds so much to it. And it's honestly like just a really easy anime to watch. It's short. I think there's only like 20 some odd episodes.
Yeah. It has a space Western kind of feel. So if you're a fan of like The Mandalorian, you might be into Cowboy Bebop. It's a lot like Firefly. If any of you know of Firefly or Serenity, the like geek cult classic show back in the day, like this is where they got that kind of inspiration, was from Cowboy Bebop. And it's a really kind of good intro one. I mean, I did mention that Avatar is the California roll of anime. It is the total intro to anime. So like for Americanized version. But if you're looking to actually look into a real anime, Cowboy Bebop is such a good one.
Yeah, it's like I said, it is super easy to jump into. There's not a lot of filler episodes. There's not a lot of these weird like anime tropes, or like it's hard to explain, but like there's just certain like things that characters do in normal anime that are, it's just like, why did they say that, or why did they do that? And like there's not a whole lot of that going on. Not that that's bad, it's just like if you haven't watched a lot of anime, you just sit there and be like, and this is why I don't watch anime.
yeah. I mean, the first time you see somebody explode into the sky because they have a nosebleed, then most people are like, okay, and back to something else.
Right. But yeah, so I'm currently watching Cowboy Bebop, currently watching My Hero Academia. And yeah, those two are great. If you like Naruto, if you like, you know, Bleach and One Piece, I would, you know, suggest watching My Hero Academia. It's great.
And if you're just a fan of like superhero genre, then My Hero's the one for you. Can you kind of describe that one for him?
Yeah. So it, My Hero is it's everyone is living like so. Superheroes, they call them like their powers quirks, and there are certain to be a superhero, you have to become a professional. And to be able to, like, you have, in order to use your power, you have to be a professional. So what happens in the show is that at a certain age, if you have a certain quirk that is, you know, kind of like X-Men, where it's pronounced, you can see it, you go to this, you go to school to train and to learn and how to properly use your powers. And in the show, this one kid doesn't have a quirk. And he wants to be in the hero track. He wants to, you know, save people. He oftentimes jumps in harm's way to save people, but he doesn't have this quirk. And the reason you follow this character is because he's narrating and he eventually becomes this ultimate superhero because there is one power called one for all, and that's passed down generation to generation, and the current guy who had one for all passes it down to him. And so the it's like basically like you having that power, you become the ultimate superhero. So it's very fun to watch him as he progresses because he's this scrawny kid who has this ultimate power, and anytime he uses it, he like busts his body and like breaks his bones. And so like it's very fun, like it's a cool anime watching seeing how like the train, like how would a superhero who's a teenager trained in order to use these powers so that he doesn't like one hurt himself but also hurt the people that he's trying to protect.
And it kind of answers the idea of like, okay, what if we lived in a world where everyone had superpowers of some sort? Like, what would that look like? And this does a really cool job of showing how some of you is for normal things, some of it is used for good things, and some of it's used for bad things. So it's really just a fun concept, and it's good if you're like a superhero fan.
Yeah, it's like I've always said, it's a very refreshing take on the superhero genre. And there's dub versions of it on Hulu. And I think the fourth season is only subbed right now. There's two different ways. Like, you can watch the dub version, which is in American, or the sub, where it's in Japanese, and you have to read the subtitles unless you understand how to speak Japanese.
And then if you do, that's kind of impressive. Or you're from Japan.
Or you're Natalie Portman. I learned that fun fact today.
She knows how to speak Japanese?
Yeah, I was reading an article trying to find, you know, weird pop culture random news, and there was an article like things you don't know about Natalie Portman, and she could speak six languages, and one of them is Japanese. Fun fact. I don't know why, but that's I thought it was going to be something about Star Wars and behind the scenes stuff, and then it was like, nope, it's like random stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, this was a waste of time.
Well, we could talk to Natalie more about it when she comes on Pod Wars. She'll be an upcoming guest coming up soon. Her and Hayden. I'd love to actually talk to Hayden Christensen. That's like my dream. It would be so uncomfortable, but I'd love every second of it.
I think you'd just be super cool and chill, and he'd just be like, yeah, like that happened, and it was a time. And like because now he just like kind of just farms. He doesn't really
he kind of like went full Thanos, where it's like he blew up the world. Now he's just like, I'm content being a farmer.
Well, he also didn't commit mass genocide, which is cool.
No, he didn't do that. No, he made two of the greatest movies ever with one of the greatest characters ever. I don't care what the haters say. I love Hayden Christensen, love the prequels, but let's bring our anime thing. How does a conversation about anime somehow end up on the prequels? It's just the way it is.
Well, this is a Star Wars podcast, so I feel like it's perfect to full circle all the way back to Star Wars.
And I feel like I just can't have a conversation with a normal person without coming to the prequels. Like, every time I'm with a patient, I'm like, so this is going on with your shoulder, this is going on here. By the way, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ewan McGregor, what a great job, right? But, so, bringing the anime thing to a close, we really love the genre. It has a lot of weirdness, which at first is like, what the heck am I watching? But as you get more used to it, it becomes more just funny. And one of the biggest things that's great about it is just the creativity in the world building, the kind of advantages of the animation. They can do these huge, large scale things that would take like billions of dollars for Disney, and convey it in a way that they just couldn't in live action. It's a really fun genre to go into. But
speaking and you don't of, have the you don't have the like the massive hole in your heart when you finish a show, because sometimes the shows are 900 episodes long, so like it takes a while to finish it. So there's no like FOMO or feeling of feeling of not being able to find a show when you're starting a new anime, specifically like Bleach or Naruto.
I don't know.
Or one
when
one
you
piece.
Finish an anime that long, you just sit there being like, what do I do with the rest of my life? I'm so emotionally moved and I just am hyped.
Have you seen the Narcos like memes where he's just like sitting by himself like on the bench and like on the swing?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what it's like after I finish Naruto.
Oh, that swing. That swing got more screen time than like half the characters. But I think it's time for what is about to shake the world, the greatest segment ever, your favorite segment, our favorite segment, Comic of the Week.
Comic of the Week.
All right, so I am going to do I want to talk about Sandman, which is a DC comic. It's under the Vertigo, property is what you would say. For those of you who are unfamiliar with DC comics, they kind of have like different labels. They have the normal DC stuff, then they have DC Black, which is like more adult themes, and then they have Vertigo, which is like your horror kind of comics. That would be like Swamp Thing, Preacher, I think. Don't quote me on that. And Sandman. But Sandman before used to be in the Justice League Society, long way before it was called the Justice League. Or sorry, before it was called Justice League, he was in Justice Society way back in the day. And then DC was like, yo, Neil Gaiman, we're going to give you this character Sandman, and you can write whatever you want to write. And he totally took it in another way. So I'm going to talk about his version of the Sandman. It's one of the things that I kind of want to do when doing these reviews is I want to give you a little history and background. So there was that. And I also kind of want to just like, I don't want to explain the whole story to you. I want to make sure that you guys go out and, you know, read it and enjoy while I'm giving this like awesome review. So let's see. Sandman, I only read one of them, so it's not going to be super long, but it starts off with this cult, and they want to capture Death. One of the main leaders of the cult gets a guy from the museum to give them this special book that has spells. And what they end up doing is having like this weird seance thing, and they call on Death. They think they call on Death, and in reality, they grab the Sandman, which is like, have you ever seen picture like Nightmare Before Christmas, but like the character, like, but like if you're like, you ever seen like Santa Claus, where the guy is like, where they have like the whole like all like Easter Bunny, like Father Time and all those people, and like the guy's always sleeping, Sandman's always sleeping.
Are you talking about Santa Claus 3?
Yes. Yeah. So like,
oh my gosh, that's an awful movie.
It was. So like Sandman, so like they think like the guy who's always sleeping in Santa Claus 3, but like he looks like not like Jack from Nightmare Before Christmas, but like the way he's drawn is like he looks like he's black and white. He's got like long, he's got like spiky black hair. His eyes are all black and his like skin is white. And he is imprisoned. So what is this story about? So this cult wants Sandman to give him powers of immortality. But he just is like imprisoned underneath this castle of the cult, and he doesn't say anything. And so for like over 70 years pass, and they have people constantly watching Sandman in this like glass cage. Underneath the glass cage is like like a pentagram, like in Supernatural, so like the demons can't like move out of the way. You know what I'm talking about, Gary?
Yeah,
you know
how the demon trap, like, thing.
The demon trap. They have a demon trap so Sandman can't leave. And after like such a long time, one of the guards like cuts the trap on accident when they were wheeling like one of the main cult leaders away. So Sandman gets out after a really long time. So what is this whole story about? It's about him breaking out and getting revenge on these people who captured him. And through the process, he's collecting these different like artifacts that were stolen from him when he was captured. So that's the story of Sandman. And I just finished the first, you know, first comic of it. So I will, now I'm on the journey of him coming back to this power and glory of, you know, him being the Sandman.
Okay. So you kind of started the origin part.
Right.
Can you kind of describe roughly what Sandman's powers are? Like, what kind of, is he like anti-hero? Is he, you watching like a villain just wreck people? Like, what, can you describe the character a bit?
So I didn't really talk about everything that was going on in the comic, but one of the things that goes on is that like, there are people who are just falling asleep because, you know, the guy who can control, he controls dreams and nightmares. Like, he is the person who runs the nightmare realm. So a lot of these people are falling asleep because there's no one there running it anymore. Like one of the characters, like they call it like the sleeping syndrome. And like these, like they just like, she only wakes up like once every 4 years. And so for a very long time, since he's captured for such a long time, there's so many people who are like in this like coma because no one's controlling like the dream realm. And when he does break out, so like he's able to give people like nightmares. He's able to give like, he's able to control like the dream state that people are having. I don't really know if he's a hero. Right now he's going on a revenge for the people who captured him. And like the main guy, he gave him like this like nightmare dreams. Like, so like I'm reading the comic and it's like normal, like kind of like Supernatural style. Like, you know, they, you know, capture a demon, you know, like they're keeping hold of it, don't know what to do with it. And then like, as soon as he breaks out, like he like casts like a spell basically on the main guy. And like, it goes super horror, like heads falling off, like the normal, like,
dang,
like eyes are boiling, like in the comic, like it's coolly drawn. Like, it's like, oh, it's like, it went from like a normal story to like absolute like horror that you would see like in like a horror movie. It's super cool.
That's awesome. So it's kind of like, if you're a big fan of horror genre or like Supernatural, the TV show, or any of those kind of realms of things, this is more of the comic for you.
Right. Yeah. If you want horror comics, you read DC Vertigo stuff. Like, you read Swamp Thing, you read Sandman. Cause Sandman introduces, you know, has Constantine, not introduces him, but like Constantine gets involved. Lucifer, like the TV show, even though the TV show is nothing based on his comics, like he's introduced in the Sandman run. So you get a lot of like characters who, you know, deal with like this like supernatural element to it. And if that's something that you're interested in, you would definitely like this.
Awesome. Well, that sounds dope. This was another episode of Comic of the Week. So, keep... Keep voting for us if you can on that Roadcast competition, guys. We'd really appreciate the love and support with this. Please, if you like what you're listening to, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Show us some love, or give us a 4-star review if we're only okay. Either way, we just want you to show us you care.
Honestly, even if you gave us a 5-star review and then just like totally ripped us to shreds, I'm okay with that. I just want a 5-star review.
If you put a 5-star review and then just give this obscene rant followed by the 5 stars, like, I'm not really that mad. I'm more so impressed. If speaking of obscene rants, Twitter, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Pod Wars Podcast, or you can send us your emails at askpodwarspodcast@gmail.com. We'll always get in touch with you guys, so feel free to get in touch with us on the interweb.
That email is designed for you guys, so that if you want us to, you know, talk about something, you want us to cover something, you want me to cover a comic, or you want Evan and Gary to, you know, talk about their skateboarding adventures. Like, literally, you can ask us any kind of question. We'll answer it. We'll talk about it. We'll give you a shout out. So yeah, if you really want us to cover something, just email us or you know, reach out to us on Twitter.
So on that note, everyone, have a fantastic week.